Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 21, and it's found on page 948 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is early, only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a day is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is the 50th day after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we get the term Penta. And on this day, of course, we Christians celebrate the fact that God's Spirit was poured out upon the early church, empowering them to go out into the world proclaiming the good news of the gospel. We Presbyterians, of course, along with all other Christians, celebrate this special day, even though we Presbyterians are sometimes called the frozen chosen. Sometimes we are, I suspect, just a little uncomfortable with the Spirit. I was reading the other day about a church, a very large Presbyterian church in another city. The pastor had gone up to give his Sunday sermon, and as he began, there was a lady sitting in the back of the sanctuary, and she said in a loud voice, "Amen, preacher, preach it." People turned around in their pews and looked at her curiously. And when the preacher made a second point, she said louder, this time, Yes, preacher, preach it. More stares and consternation and discomfort in the pews around her. And when the preacher got to his third and concluding point, the woman stood up and raised her hands in the air and yelled, "Praise God Almighty." An usher approached and said, "Ma'am, is there anything wrong?" And the lady said, "No, I just have the spirit." To which the usher replied, "Well, you didn't get it here." I used to serve a Presbyterian church in Decatur, Georgia as an intern, and every Sunday before the gospel reading, the choir would lead the congregation in song, which was fine, except that after the song, there was always two ladies who were so aroused by the song that they would get up and wave their hands in the air and spend several seconds praising the Lord. And I never knew quite how to handle that particular situation. There were some that thought I should let it take its course, let the Spirit take its course. Others thought that I should put an end to it as quickly as I possibly could. And others were just amused each Sunday to see how I would deal with the tension. But the point is that I suspect that we Presbyterians are a little uncomfortable about talking about the Spirit. Part of it has to do with the fact that the Spirit is like the wind. It is mysterious and elusive and invisible. And we Presbyterians sometimes have trouble with anything that is elusive and invisible and mysterious. We don't do mysterious very well. We like to have things all figured out. We have no problem with God the Father. Of course, we can conceptualize that. We often conceptualize it wrong, but we can at least conceptualize that. We have no problem with God the Son, with the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is incarnate and we can understand that, but we're not quite sure what to do with the Holy Spirit. And so it makes us a little bit uncomfortable worshiping and acknowledging something that we can't quite conceptualize. But the biggest problem I suspect that we have with the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit blows where it will. It doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to our carefully ordered and predictable ways of doing things. We Presbyterians like to do things decently and in order. We even have something called the Book of Order to make sure that nothing gets out of hand. We like to have things buttoned up and tucked in. But the Spirit doesn't much care about our ways of doing things. It doesn't abide by our limits and constraints. The Spirit has its own ways of doing things, ways that can't always be predicted and controlled and contained. And that makes many of us a bit uncomfortable. We want to have things all figured out. We want to be in control, but the Spirit often disturbs our carefully crafted plans. And so we are uncomfortable. And not only uncomfortable, but maybe even a little bit frightened by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, of course, is not all about the special effects. It's not all about what we read earlier about the tongues and about the prophecies and about the fantastic special effects. In fact, there's a lot we can say about the Holy Spirit and perhaps should say about it. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. The Spirit is God's Spirit, the Spirit that was there before the foundation of the world, hovering over the face of the waters. And the Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit fell upon Jesus at his baptism, and Jesus himself would say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim the good news to the poor and to the broken and to the marginalized. And so the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's the same Spirit that Jesus promises to send to each and every one of us, to his followers. Imagine that. Having the same Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ had. Having the same Spirit that fell upon Jesus. The Spirit of peace. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of healing. The Spirit of prophecy. The Spirit of love. The same Spirit that fell upon Jesus. Jesus promises to send us that Spirit. That's what he told his disciples prior to his ascension into heaven, according to the Gospel of Luke. Wait for the power to come from on high. Wait for my Spirit. So the Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the thing I want to highlight this morning is that the Spirit has its own particular work. The Spirit is the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. It brings new life. Wherever the Spirit is blowing, life is in evidence. New life, abundant life, eternal life. When the Spirit blows, you can be sure that there is life. That's what we are reminded of in our text this morning. We often call this day, Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, because it was on this day that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Christian community huddled there in the upper room, and they became alive. They became alive to the possibilities of what God was calling them to be and what God was calling them to do in the world. We can imagine the early followers of Jesus there in the upper room. They are probably afraid. They're probably a little anxious. They're huddled there in those locked doors, in those four walls, probably a little afraid and anxious, not knowing how to engage the vast and diverse array of people who are around them. They are afraid, and their situation looks a little hopeless. They have lost the Lord. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and they are there huddled in the upper room, and they are afraid, unsure about what to do next. And then the Spirit begins to blow. The Spirit begins to blow, and all kinds of crazy things begin to happen. People who never thought they could speak begin to speak. People who never thought they could dream begin to dream. People who never thought they could prophesy begin to prophesy. People who never dared to have a vision begin to have a vision. And they come out of the upper room. They come out of the confines of the four walls that they have been locked inside of, and they come out into the street, and they begin to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. They begin to proclaim the good news of God. All of a sudden, this little Christian community that didn't know how to communicate with the people around them begin to communicate the mighty deeds of God. And the people around them, the diverse array of people, begin to hear in their own language the mighty deeds of God. Those from the Philippines hear the gospel in the Philippines, and those from Korea hear the gospel being proclaimed in Korean, and those from Haiti hear the gospel being proclaimed in Haiti, and those from Puerto Rico hear the gospel being proclaimed in Puerto Rican, and those from far off places like Missouri hear the gospel being proclaimed in something called Ozarkian. But they all hear the gospel proclaimed. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Maybe that's a Pentecost story for another Sunday. But the fact is that when the Spirit is blowing, the Spirit of life, things usually happen that we have no idea could have happened. People are imbued with new energy and new purpose and new possibilities. And so this little Christian community that was frightened and anxious and scared leaves their walls, and they go out and begin to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text says that the Lord added to their number. The Lord added 3,000 people to their number, this little Christian community that looked hopeless before the Spirit began to blow. The whole book of Acts, of course, is about the intrusion of the power of life in the world. It's about God's power breaking into the world and nothing being able to shut it down. It's about God's power resting upon this little Christian community, just like the Spirit of God fell upon Jesus Christ. And nothing is able to shut it down. Not even death itself is able to shut this power of life down. The early followers of Jesus don't try to contain it. They don't try to limit it. They can't do that anyway. All they can do is follow it, because it's the Spirit that is leading. It's the Spirit of life that is leading. The Spirit is moving here and then it's moving there. The Spirit prompts them to go places that they ordinarily wouldn't go. And it prompts them to see people that they ordinarily wouldn't see. But it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is leading them and sending them out into the world. And the question is, will they follow the Spirit? Will they follow the Spirit of life in the midst of a world that is often conditioned by the forces and powers of death? Or will they accept things the way that they are? Will they continue to live life the way that it is? And that's the question for us too on this Pentecost Sunday, on this Sunday that is the birthday of the church. What will we open our lives to? What Spirit will we open our lives to? What power will we open our lives to? Will we open our lives to the power of life in the world? Will we open our lives to the power of newness in the world? Will we open our lives to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the power that can raise people from the dead? From the power that can heal those who are afflicted, from the power that can reconcile people who are at enmity with each other? Will we open our lives up to that power? Will we continue to do things the way that they are? Will we continue to govern our lives by the same old patterns, by the same old ways of doing things? Will we find our identity as the people of God, or will we continue to be identified by our old identities and by our old hatreds and by all the malice and the enmity and the hatred that is extant in our world? Who will we follow? Will we follow the Spirit of life? Of course, there are all kinds of spirits out there. And the Bible says, test the spirits. There's all kind of spirits out there, and some of those spirits would have us to believe that there are spirits of life. But they are not. They are lying spirits, many of them. The Bible says to test the spirits, to make sure that those spirits are from God. And the way that we know that a spirit is from God is because we know that It is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was someone who was filled with the Spirit. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was someone who was filled with love. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is someone who had compassion for the poor and for the broken and the marginalized. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was someone who gave his own life so that we might have life. And if the spirits out there that are beckoning us to follow them, if the spirits out there who are beckoning us to give our hearts to them are not spirits of love, if they're not spirits of compassion, if they're not spirits of truth, if they're not spirits that have us to reach out to our fellow human beings, if they're not spirits of reconciliation, if they're spirits that pit us against one another, if they're spirits of greed that have us to seek our own good at the expense of others, then we know that those spirits are lying spirits. They're not spirits of life. Only the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of life. And Pentecost asks us, which Spirit are we going to follow? Which Spirit are we going to choose? Which Spirit are we going to open our lives to? Pentecost, of course, is not something that happens once. Pentecost happens again and again. The Spirit of God is constantly being poured out. Sometimes it's being poured out on groupings of people. Sometimes it's being poured out on individuals. But the Spirit of God is constantly being poured out, doing things that we think are impossible, on people and places and situations and communities and neighborhoods that we are likely to give up on. The Spirit of God breaks into those places, bringing new life and new possibility and new hope. I was reminded of a Pentecost story that I read earlier this week. It was a story by the poet and author Edwina Gately. And she tells the story of Breezy. Breezy is or was a woman who lived in California. She acquired her street name, Breezy, because of the speed in which she moved from man to man, working as a prostitute on the streets and down the back alleys in California. 23 years of prostitution and drugs had left its mark on her body. Her face was scarred, her body was battered, and her spirit was dead. She was dead. Have you ever seen people and you can look in their eyes and you can see that they're dead? There's nothing there. There's no soul there. She was dead. But then she came to not an upper room, but a broom closet in a homeless shelter in California where she was staying. There was no more room in the homeless shelter, so she took up residence in the broom closet for 3 days. And prior to coming to the homeless shelter, she had just given birth to a child, and the child itself was sickly, shuddering and jaundiced from drugs. And so the child was taken from her. And so she found refuge, not in the upper room, but in a broom closet. And in the midst of all of that, she began to pray in that broom closet, asking for forgiveness, forgiveness for her own life, forgiveness from God, and forgiveness from the little baby, the little child that she had taken from her. And in the midst of that broom closet, something began to happen. No one heard it or no one seen it. It wasn't a rush of the mighty wind. It wasn't any tongues of fire, nothing spectacular like that. But something began to happen because when Breezy left the closet, she was intent to go back home to Chicago and to leave her life of drugs and prostitution and violence behind. And so she went back home to Chicago and she made herself a member of a small fledgling Christian community. And they had a funeral for Breezy. They dug a hole and they put a large rock inside and they buried Breezy. And they gave her her original name, Brenda, because all of us, you see, have that dead part in our lives that need to be buried. But Brenda began to live a totally different kind of life. And people who would have looked at Breezy or Brenda before and say, there's nothing that can be done for her. There's nothing that can be done for her. No power can crack her life. There can be nothing for her soul. She's dead. There's absolutely nothing that can be done for her. And yet the power of God broke into her life and did what a lot of people would have thought was impossible. It brought her new life. There's a lot of death in our world. Maybe our situations are not as bad as Breezy's, but there's a lot of death in our world. Our world is on a trajectory with death. All of our so-called technology and our economic prowess and our advertising and our politics are drenched in death, whether we care to admit it or not. We live in a world where death seems to have the last word. But in the midst of it all, we are reminded that there is another kind of spirit that is surging in our world. There's another kind of spirit that can't be shut down. There's another kind of spirit that is blowing in our hearts and blowing in those places that we've given up on. There's a spirit that blows past war and violence. There's a spirit that blows past hatred and enmity. There's a spirit that won't be shut down by all the forces and powers of death. Nothing can stop the spirit because it's the spirit of God. Nothing can stop the spirit because it's the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop the spirit because it's the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. And that spirit is still blowing in our world. And the spirit wants to know, we will open ourselves up to it. Will we open ourselves up to the power of life? Or will we continue to live life as usual? We've been offered a choice, and we continue to be offered that choice. We're offered an alternative. It's a risky alternative. It's an alternative that the world often thinks is crazy. The world looks at us and says, those people have to be drunk. They have to be drunk. They have to be drunk to be living their lives that way. They have to be drunk to love one another. They have to be drunk to be reconciled with one another, not to be dominated by hate. They have to be drunk not to have their lives governed by the things that govern the rest of us, not to have their lives governed by skin color, or not to have their lives governed by class, or not to have their lives governed by ethnicity, or not to have their lives governed by nationality. They have to be crazy. There's something wrong with them. And yet we're reminded that we live by a different kind of spirit. We are animated by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only alternative that brings life. If you want life, if you want abundant life, if you want eternal life, don't listen to what the spirits of our world has to say. If you want life and abundant life, don't listen to what the conservatives have to say or the liberals have to say. Don't listen to what the Democrats have to say or the Republicans have to say. If you want life and you want abundant life, you're only going to find it through the Spirit of God. It's that Spirit that beckons each and every one of us. It's that Spirit that wants to fall on you just as it fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, choose life. Choose the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of healing, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of love, the Spirit that brings life and all the abundance that God desires for each and every one of us. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for the power of your Spirit operating in our lives. Help us to follow your Spirit as it blows across scorched hearts. Help us to follow the power of your Spirit as it beckons us away from hatred and enmity and indifference. Help us to follow your Spirit as it emboldens us to proclaim good news to the poor and the broken and the marginalized. Help us to follow your Spirit so that we might have abundant and eternal life. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.